Okay, so we're on Daf Beis Masechet Dar. We have a new Masechta. Let me give a little Hakdama to the Masechta, and then we'll take everything down, but maybe more than a little Hakdama. So the first issue is why we have Masechet Nedarim now. We were in Seder Nashim, and we just finished Masechet. We did Yibamo, we did Ksubis. Obviously, they both deal with women. What does Nedarim have to do with this? So this is from the Moror Daf Yomi, but they point out the Gemara in Masechet Sota on Daf Beis says that the reason that Nedarim follows now is because we had a perek in Ksubas. Seventh perek in Ksubas was a madir. If a man made Nedarim against his wife, so what the dinim are with that? So that's how that relates. But the Rambam in his Hakdama to the Perush HaMishnayot, he has reasons why the Mishnayot follow a certain order. So over there he says, it's in Seder Nashim because Parshas Nedarim, it talks about there's a right of the father to be revoked to make mere the Nedarim of his daughter. The father's right to revoke the Nedarim of his daughter, and a husband has right to revoke the Nedarim of his wife. And then the time of the Eris and Nisuin, that's Kaveh, who gets to do what to who. So that relates in that way to the women, you know, it relates to the marriage and right to revoke the netter. Okay, now let me just do a broad overview of the Masechta, and then we'll do a little hakdama with some of the dinim. So there's two topics. One is what is an netter, and how can you be mivatel an netter? Now he goes through here. The first half of the first parak deals with the lashon of the nedarim and the nusach, and it was the formula to create an editor. The second half and the second parak deals with the idea of hadpasa. Hadpasa is you're like linking the netter to something else which is prohibited. Like you say something like the food should be prohibited to me like a korban. So a korban is prohibited, and so that would be hadpasa. And then the third parak gets into nedarim that aren't chal because of kriya, you're forced to do it, or you did an exaggeration, or you were trying to stimulate yourself. And then the third parak and the sixth and seventh parakim, they talk about different lashonot, different languages in the darim, and what's included with this. Like if a person says that he makes the neder not to get hana from Zaro, Phil Abraham, the progeny of Abraham, are goyim included with that statement. The fourth, fifth parakim deal with shilas concerning if a person was madir enough from his friend, but he can't get benefit from what's prohibited, what's permissible, can he teach him Torah? Can he visit him when he's sick? And then the eighth parak deals with the times that are included with the neder, like if a person takes the neder, the song will take place till Pesach, is it come out at the beginning of the holiday or at the end of the holiday? And the ninth parak, till the end of the Masechta, deals with sugyas that deal with hatarat nedarim, where are you going to... Well, I said before to revoke the vows. This would be to annul the vow, to annul the vow, ab initio. And then the ninth parak deals with different rationale why you should under what circumstances you can mat a neder. The tenth and 11th parakim deal with a par neder by the father to a woman and to an ara. Anyway, so and then also in the anim of chayrim and nidui comes up in the Masechta. Now, as a general matter, when we talk about nedarim, so the two elements are charata and petah. Charata is the person who has charata regret concerning the neder, and he wished he had never done it. It means, like, let's say the person was very angry, and then he calmed down, and then he has charata. That would be one element, well, how you would be matzil the neder. And the other is a petah. He's the person doesn't regret having done it, but he didn't know certain facts. Had he known certain facts, he never would have made the neder. Anyway, that's with the charata and the petah. Now, one second. The Rishonim have an idea that lashon nedarim mishuna, the language of this masechta is different than other masechtot. Let's say instead of teku, it'll say tiboy. Instead of teku, say tiboy, and It'll like instead of when it quotes Mishnah, it'll say Amar Mar, and Meifei comes instead of Tashma, and a lot of different distinctions. So There are different explanations for why these things are. So the Aris will mention in the footnote, they said that Rav Ashi had only gone through this once. One second, let me get the, he says here, one second. Yeah, he quotes here from the Tiferes Yisrael, says that the Talmud, most of the Talmud was reviewed twice under the editorship of Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi didn't have an opportunity to revise the original edition of Masechet Nedarim. So we have it as like a first edition. And the Tiferes Yisrael says the same thing is true with Nazir, Erechin, Priestess, Me'ilah, and Talmud. But he quotes over here, this is from the Moro Daf Yomi, and he quoted it a little bit briefly in the art scroll from the Doros Rishonim that that during the Zman of Gaonim, the Chachmei Surim Pompadita, they didn't study Masechet Nedarim, and it was just Yechidim who had, you know, had that province with it. And so as any sefer that's not so well spread, so different mistakes come up in the gear stout and they were copied over. And Rabbi Hudai Gaon says, Anan Lugarsina Masechet Nedarim. We don't study Masechet Nedarim. And the Ramban, at the end of the his Halacha Torah Masechta, he writes, from the Tekufa of Rabbi Hudai, Lo Nishnei Nedarim Yeshiva. And Nedarim wasn't taught in the yeshivas. Not only that, not only wasn't it taught, they weren't Osek in Hilchot Nedarim, and they weren't Matir in Nedarim, they weren't Mefir in Nedarim in Shuot. Rabbi Hudai himself says he was Nimna, he avoided getting involved with these things, and later generations continued on with that practice. And he says, like, he quotes from the end of a tshuv, from the tshuv of the Gaonim, Zemen halacha, but we mean Mari who died gone, lo nishtate nadarim bishiva, but gonim sha'achrab nindu milahatir nadarim. Anyway, so conversely though, the Neyaris Israel did study Masech and Nadarim, and even though Bnei Israel, that was where the Yerushalmi was most prevalent, but they began to study the Talmud Bavli. So the fact that was the case, we learned from a Tshuva Gonim, he says that that they would be Matir and Nedarim and Shuot. So the Dor Rishonim explains that most of the Kitva Yad from Masechet Nedarim that had spread to Europe, the source was in Eretz Yisrael, not in Bavel. And that's why, like, a lot of Lashonos are from Lashon Yerushalmi. Like we just mentioned above, that instead of Teku, it says Tiboy. That would be like Yerushalmi would have that. So in other words, there's language from Yerushalmi because Bnei Bavel weren't studying for reasons that we'll try to clarify shortly, and Bnei Yisrael were studying it. Now, why were they not studying the second Adarim in Bavel in this Tufa? I mean, it's after the Zman of Gemara, but it's Tufa the Gonim. So once she was given in the parish of the Rambam to the second Adarim, the Rambam writes, the Seder had in Zarim that the protocol or the order to be Matinetim, as our rabbis gave it over to us, he says, Lefish is a slain of Ba'ari Hamarav. In other words, Masim Mechim Lefish ain't novim Ba'arenu Maim Haraim Klomar Haminut. The Rambam seems to refer that we don't have a problem with heresy, which we'll clarify in a minute, in the West. They had one in the East. He says that they were concerned in Bavel with the, you know, Karaites were in Bavel, and they had tainas against the Masorah, Baal Peh. So Heter Nedarim, the Mishnah says in Masechet Chagiga, is like one of the things that are Porech Ba'avir. In other words, Shem Mikra Muat, Balachot Merubot. In other words, it's mostly Torah Shabbal Peh. You have some Sukkim, but the Ikar Limud is Torah Shabbal Peh. The Karam uses this, like, to sort of like scoff at the Torah and say the rabbis are making things up on their own. And the way the Karam learned it is brought down in the Karaitic books. He says, you shouldn't make a neder, but once you do, then you're stuck. You have to be Mekayim. In other words, they have no hafara. We did. So he wants to say, this is from Dor Rishonim, wants to say the Chachmei Yisrael in those generations, they wanted to be Mesayeya, the Hamonam, who had to be contend with the Karayim. So they left out the study of Masechet Nedarim, Hilchot Nedarim, and slowly We could turn the negative heter in the dark, right? So like the Karaim quieted down. In other words, like we weren't, you know, doing anything with the Nedarim, and then they were quieting down with it. Now, so that would be another answer. So again, so we said that Lashon of Nedarim is Mishuna, is the way the Rishon refer to it. And so the first answer we said that because the first Israel says that under Ravashi, he only reviewed it once. The other Masechtot, he typically reviewed twice. And then the Dor Rishonim wants to say that it was just studied in Eretz Israel and not in Babel because of the Karayim. And as a result of that, they have many, you know, a lot of language from Yerushalmi creeping into it. Now, he quotes from a tshuva from Rav Notronai Gaon, and he writes a different explanation. He says that Rav Nehudai said that you shouldn't be made for Nedarim, and certainly Shuot, because Nedarim and Shuot were Kalim Alam. In other words, the people weren't Machshiv Nedarim and Shuot so much. And he was mitaking that they shouldn't study it in yeshivas, this Masechta, so that people, you know, won't even know how to be Machshiv the Neder. So he says, now, he says, in our time, kind of going in is not Nohegit. Even Kafir Rishonim, they weren't doing it that way. He says, and the Rambam writes in the Rashba, he says, Kivar Yadash Ksat Migdali Gonim, Hechmir Badabarzeh, Shlatir Nadarim, that you know that in the time of Gonim, some were Machmir not to be Machi Nadarim. Bechilin is Kachalim Latir Shvuot, they weren't be Machi Shvuot. Be'ini Sarich La'rich B'divrayim, Shekvar Yadatam. You know this already. About Dorot Eilu, Kvar Nagu Kol Gonim Zal, is a Kech Latir Nadarim Shvuot. So I don't know if this is a quote, this could be from Rashba, but that's it. So anyway, so the only thing that's left from it is this different language. Okay, so we gave three reasons why Lashon Nedarim is Mishuna. All right, now I'm going to do 30 seconds for questions, comments, and thoughts, and I'm going to do another more Hakdama on Nedarim. Everybody good? Okay, go ahead. Say again? Yeah, we're going to have it later on in the Sechta. Well, it's a good question. The Gemara says that if a person doesn't want his Nedarim to be Chal, he should get up a race shot at the beginning of the year and make a statement and call like that his Nedarim shouldn't be Chal. But the in our tefillah, we'll see. I think it came into our tefillah later on. It came into the tefillah many centuries after the Gemara as part of our tefillah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see later on in a second. Stick with the second. What?
Can I just ask clarification?
All right, wait. Aram Moshe first, then you, Ruth. Go ahead. Go.
No, I was just going to say that I saw from Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. He writes that seeing the Mishpat Tepada of a Shivya Bitztaka, that seeing the Mishpat Tepada is Gematria at the Talmud Yerushalmi. And the Shivya Bitztaka, it's Gematria at the Talmud Babli, meaning that we should really study both.
All right. Okay, Ruth, what did you want to say?
So clarification. You mentioned something that the Nedarim shouldn't be something bichlal. Bichlal, I didn't hear that word.
Say again, repeat. Go ahead.
You mentioned that the Nedarim shouldn't be something bichlal. Bichlal?
I don't know exactly what the...
you just said it a few seconds ago.
Sorry, what's that?
She wants to know what bichlal means. It means two altogether.
In this case...
Right.
No, that's not what it means here.
All right. Well, it's hard for me. I don't remember where I said this exactly, but like I think you have the translation. It was like you shouldn't be involved with it at all, I would say. Okay. Now,
have a question.
All right, quickly, Fernia.
A neder and a shvua are
We're coming up to it. We're going to come up to it. We're going to explain. Okay. All right, now we're going to go over a little bit more. And we'll see in the Ron, in our, now again, so like Rabbi Leibowitz is mentioning, in this Masechta, so the Rashi, even though it says Rashi, doesn't seem to be, it's like Rashi, and the Beis Yosef refers to it as the Perish So the Rashi is not Rashi, but we have the Ran. The only thing is the Ran, they said, is more like combination of Rashi and Tosfos here. So the Ran is going to go through this. Let me see this part. Let me see what I will do here. All right, so some of the stuff I think we'll see in the Ran in a little bit, okay? And the difference between a nether and a shoe is going to come up. I'll hold up a little bit with that as well, okay? But let me begin the Masechta, and we'll take it from here, okay? And then we'll do the Mishnah, and then we'll take some more questions, okay? So if you look at Daf Beis Amud Aleph in the Mishnah, now the Kol Kinui Nedarim Kinedarim, a Kinui is like an equivalent term. Kinui is an equivalent term. Like usually with Kinuyim, when they talk about Kinuyim, it means, let's say a person's, you're having a get. So you want to have the person's name and all the Kinuyim. In other words, right. So here he's saying, now if you look quickly, look on Daf Yud, turn to Daf Yud, this, the second Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, it says 10 lines from the bottom, Omer Konam Konach Konas Reilu Kinuyim LeKorban. In other words, a person can make an eder that something should be prohibited to him, like a korban. So a korban is hekdesh, right? It's hekdesh. So the korban is prohibited. So something can be prohibited to him like a korban. And we say like a korban, that's lashon hadpasa. You're linking the neder to a different object. And Chazal teaches, we'll see, it has to be davar hanadur as opposed to davar asur. In other words, a korban is something that's created by a person's statement. And again, when we talk about Nedarim and Shvuot, it's a little unusual. It's like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says in Emes Liakov, in Parshas Matot, that here a person's like creating his own mitzvot. In other words, like he's asering things or acquiring things that on his own. He's like almost like creating his own mitzvot. So if you look at the Mishnah Daf Yud, it says, HaOmer Konam Kona Kona Sarelu Kinun LeKorban. So these other terms are kinuyim for a korban. And the Gemara has machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether these terms are lashon ha'amim, they're Gentile languages, or are these lashonot that the chachamim created on their own. Then the Mishnah says, chara, chare, cheref, arelu kinuyim lecherem. Those are alternative terms for a cherem. Cherem, we'll see, like a person could say, mukramani mimcha, like in other words, like he's asering, you know, getting hana from a person. Nazik nasiach pasiach kinuim lenazirut. Also, alternative terms for nazirus. Shavuta shkuka no derbamoi areilu kinuim leshua. So let's go back to the Mishnah Beis Amud Aleph. So it says the Tana Mishnah says everybody focus. Kol kinuim nedarim kinedarim. That if I have kinuim for a neder, in other words, a neder could be the person's asering food on him like a korban. Or he could say he's asking, he could say konam. He could say konam is like another lashon for a korban.
And what does kinuyim mean? Kinuyim.
Just 1 minute. Wait 2 minutes, then I'll pause. Okay, listen, wait, and then ask a question. And it's recorded and posted on YU Torah. Just wait 2 minutes, okay? It says, kol kinuyim nedarim kinedarim, v'charamim kacharamim. Now, charamim mean different things. There's one type of cherem is, and we'll see in the Ran shortly, a type of cherem is, you know, a person makes a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, or he makes a donation to the Kohanim, it's type of Cherem. But here he's using Cherem in a different sense. Cherem is like something's like Aster on him. So see, he says, Ushvur Kishvur. Again, we saw the Kinuim for Shvur, that's like Shvur. Unazirut Kinazirut. Okay, what's up, Ruth? What was your problem?
I was just asking what Kinuim is.
I explained it, but I'm going to explain it again. Kinuim is an alternative term. In other words, like, let's say something is prohibited to me, like a korban. A korban is a sacrifice. But a person could say konam. Konam is a different term for like a korban. Or we said konas. We just did the Mishnah on Daf Yud. Were you paying attention? I did the Mishnah 2 minutes ago on Daf Yud. So they're all alternative terms. That's what it means. Okay, now let me finish the Mishnah, then we'll do the Ran. Okay, now, Ha'omer l'chaveiro. Now, here the Mishnah starts talking about a different topic, which are yada. Listen, I need everybody to mute themselves. Okay. So now we're talking about yadot. Yadot is, I don't mention the whole nether. I just mention part of the nether. And then part of the nether is like a yad. Yad is like a handle for a pot. I don't hold the whole pot. I hold the handle, and it's understood amongst the whole pot. So I don't say the whole language that I normally would, a part of the language. So he says, Ha'omer l'chaveiro mudrani b'mcha. The person says, to Reuben says to Shimon, mudrani b'mcha. In other words, I'm like Asher on you. He says, mufreshani b'mcha, mruchakani b'mcha. I'm separated from you, I'm distanced from you. Shani yochei l'cha, shani toim l'cha. In other words, that I'm basically not going to eat with you. I'm not going to eat any of your food. I'm not going to, you know, taste any of your food. Asur. So he's prohibited. And that's yad, because he doesn't say that, you know, like your food should be on me like a korban. He says, just mufranch, that's the yad. So it's not a full thing. Menuda ani lecha, a person says, I'm menuda to you. Menuda can mean I'm like excommunicated to you. Or menuda can mean I'm removed from you. So if it's excommunicated, then that would be lashon neder. But if it's removed, detached from you, it's not. So Rabbi Akiva yachochech bazalahachmir. Rabbi chochech means he was rubbing. So the Ran, this comes up on Dav Zayin. If you want to look quickly at Dav Zayin, so in the Ran, one second, should be here. So earlier, one second. Yeah, so it's around the 10th wide line on Zayin Amud Aleph in the Ran. He says, like a person like rubbing his brow. That's the way the article translated it. He can't be mevarer it. Or chech can come from rubbing, or it can come from the palate, like the palate of person in the person's mouth, that like it seemed to him correct to be machmir. So back in the Mishnah, he says, Rabbi Kiva yachochech b'zelahachmir. So he would lean to be machmir. All right, let me just do the Ran, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? Look at the first Ran in the Gemara. Everybody with me, the Ran is on the left-hand this column, okay? Kol kinui nedarim, everybody with me on daf beis d'man aleph. Kol kinui nedarim, neder hu bechad mishnei inyanim. So the Ran says, a neder could be in one of two ways. Do you have the place out for Melech Melech? Okay. So neder hu bechad mishnei inyanim, im nidri hefdei shu machmish lebedek abayi v'lo mizbeach. One aspect is a person who's making a contribution to the upkeep of the base of Mikdash or for the Mizbeach, an offering. So that's a type of neder, but a person can only asser with that neder that which he owns, right? I can't make a contribution of Avram Elimelech's property to the base of Mikdash. I can only give my own property to the base of Mikdash. But once I asked her property, if it's my property, everybody's asked her on it. He says, or on line three, oh, Nidre Isur is a different type of neder. Nidre Isur, he says, that a person asks what would otherwise be permissible object, like the person says, you know, he's that apple should be prohibited to him. He says, there, the person can answer even somebody else's property on himself. He could say, you know, Plony's property is prohibited to me. The Easter and the Easter is not on everybody, it's just on him. On the second narrow line, the first narrow line. So the Ran says, our Masechta, you gotta like narrow out what we're talking about. So he's saying Nidarim could be Nidre Hekdesh or Nidre Easter. So we're only talking about Nidre Easter in this Masechta, not Nidre Hekdesh. He says, when the Mishnah refers to Haramim, the Haramim, just like by a neder, I can have, you know, Nidre Berakabayit, or I can have a neder of Isur, so too Lashon Cherem. He says, Cherem can mean like a person's making a contribution to the Kohanim, or to the base of Mikdash, it's a cherem. Or cherem can mean like somebody's prohibited on it. So the Dan Lekaman, like we learn later on in the Mishnah on Masechta, Hareini Alecha cherem. He says, I should be cherem to you. Hamudor Asur. So if Reuven says to Shimon, Hareini Alecha cherem, so Shimon is not allowed to get benefit from Reuven. Hareini Alecha cherem, you're cherem to me, Hamadur Asur. If Reuven says, you Shimon are cherem to me, so now Reuven can get benefit from. Because the other things have nothing to do with our Masechta. Now, the Benidrei Isur came to Chad Mishlosh Nedarim. Okay, now, having clarified, we're talking about Nidrei Isur. In other words, Nedarim, that are going to prohibit something on me or on other people. So there's three elements that a person we have to clarify. Ikar Neder, Bikinuyo Viado. Ikar Neder, who Shiomar Devarza Sturalai, who Vainshi Pisa Bidavarakhair, Vainshi Lowit Pisa, who say Neder Amor Batora. A person says something's prohibited to me. He could say it's like a korban, which is also something prohibited to me, or not. If he's matpis, he links it to something else. There's something else he links it to, has to be something else that's also subject to being prohibited by a neder. In other words, he can't say the food should be prohibited to me like pork, because pork is not a davar nadur. Pork, the Torah prohibits pork. But if he says it should be put like a korban, so the korban is something that he creates. It's a minibresh perak shvuchstein patra. And they had that example in the art scroll. So my time on the amakra, ki dor neder l'Hashem, ad shedur b'davar nadur. This is ki dor neder. It has to be davar nadur. Klomar, shafishna neder chal below hat pasa, even though neder would be chal without that linkage, he says, afilu hachim if he so, but if he chooses to be mapis, he has to be mapis with davar nadur, below davar ha'asur, kosh tavisham, miskat shmaya. Hilka hecha shepis, korban. So if a person says this loaf should be prohibited to me like a korban, chayil nidrei, the ikar neder, who said that's ikar neder. Okay, so the ikar neder we got. Then he says the kinuyo, the third white line. The kinuyo hushmakom korban yomar konam konak konas v'choshamar kein areyu asur kilomar korban alai kikarze. In other words, so if I say it's like konam kikarze, it's the same as saying this slope should be like a korban. But it's not kokinun darim kinedarim. Mani kinuyim he would Rabbi Yochanan reish lach shpigmara. Rabbi Yochanan amar l'shon nachrim hein. Yochanan says the kinuyim are lashon of the Gentiles. And then I didn't mention, but I should mention that when it comes to Dadarim, so the Ikar is you need Pivali Boshada. His heart and his mind, his mouth and his mind have to be in the same spot. In other words, person has to know what he's doing, and then the follows through. And then he says, In other words, language is just the general consensus of a nation. So he wants to say, the Ran wants to say, that the Kinuyim, even according to Reish Lakish, who says it's the Chachamim created it, there would still be a Din D'oraisa, because so Din D'oraisa, if there's a community of people agree on a certain language, so the Chamim have that koach to create language. Okay, now skip to the end of this run and go down, it's around the 15th very wide line, and at the end, three words before the end of the line, it's two lines above where it says Bacharim, Kacharimim, it says V'yadot Nedarim, Hu Shemanchil V'miksati Brosh HaNeder. Yadot is I begin with the language of the Neder, El Sheino Gomer Oto, I don't complete it. The little bit that he said, in other words, as if I complete the whole sentence. Kadama Oche is clean, the Beit Yad Shlo, like a person holding a clay, like a pot with his handle, the Metaslo Kuli moves it. In other words, even I'm only holding the handle, I'm moving the whole object. All right. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? Anybody in the Zoom world? Everybody good? All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, turn to base, I'm in base. Everybody with me? All right. Now the Gemara says, Kol kinuyim nedarim kinedarim. So we said that all the kinuyim of the nedarim are like the nedarim. And the kinuyim, we said, were alternative, like equivalent terms. That's just like whether I use the main term or I use a kinuy, it's the same thing. So Maishna Gabinazya look tanilu lakulu, Maishna Gabinadarim Lakulu. So the Gemara asks, the next Masechta is Masechta Nazir. We're doing Nadarim, then we do Nazir. The first Mishnah Masechta Nazir says kinui nizar nizirut kin nizirut. In other words, the kinui of the nazir are just like nizirus. So if a person says, you know, he's going to be a nazir, or he says a kinui for nazirus, like we learned on Daf Yud, we had kinui for nazirus, right? What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, yeah, like nazik, naziah, hazia, those are kinui for nazirut. It's, that's all the first Mishnah over there says. How come our Mishnah says kinui nadarim, kinadarim? And then the kinui mecharamim are like the charamim. Kinu is shur like shur. The kinu in these zeros are like zeros. How come our Gemara mentions everywhere where kinuim are the same as the object? And over there, the next Mishnah, or the Mishnah, the next Masechta, just says the kinu from the zeros. He says, Umayishna gabi nedarim, the kind of the kulu. Mishum the nether shur ktive gabi hadade. So the Gemara says, nether and shvua are written next to one another. Let's look at the Ran, the second white line in the Ran upstairs. Nether shvua ktive gabi hadade, ktive. It says in Parshat Matot, if a person makes a nether or a shvua, it says tani tarting. So he teaches both. And we'll explain in a minute what's the difference between nether and shvua is. The Gemara is going to come to it. But came on the tani tarting, and once the Tana has to teach me both, whereas the Tana, he's teaching here in the Darim. Once he's teaching the Darim, he's not going to leave out shvua, because they're both mentioned in the same pasuk. He says, so once he's teaching, we came in Tani Tartin, once he teaches me the Dharma and Shvuot, that the Kinuim are the same by them, Tani Lakulu. So he teaches the whole shebang. It was like he opened up the door. So the Gemara says, okay, Vlitne Kinuim Yeshuot Batar Nidarim. So why doesn't he teach me Kinuim Darim Kinadarim? The next clause should be Kinuim Yeshuot Tishuot. Kinuim for Shuot like Shuot, because he said Nidarim and Shuot are the main thing. He says, I need a ton of Nidarim. The mitzvah hefto alei. So since he's teaching the neder, and so here's this is what I think you asked me before, Fern. A neder is the object becomes prohibited on him, right? The hefto becomes prohibited on the person. That's a neder. Like the person says, this loaf should be prohibited to me. That's a neder. So if he says blasho neder, he says this loaf should be prohibited upon me like a korban. So that would be objects prohibited. So Tananami Charamim the Mitzvah Chepsalei. So having done that, so then he goes to Charamim. Charamim also something should be like Muhram, something should be prohibited to me, an object. So he's doing Chepsa Chepsa La Puki Shvua the Kaasa Nafshe Min Chepsa, as opposed to Shvua. Shvua goes on the person. So in other words, a person could say he's making a Shvua that he's not going to eat something that's going on the Gavra, or he could say the chafza is prohibited upon him, and that's the neder. Now, so that explains the first three. Now, the only thing is, the Gemara does not address Nazirus. Where does Nazirus fall into the whole thing? So I was asking the base matters, looking in the art scroll, there's a whole tumult among the postgim. Even though the Torah refers to neder nazir la nazir la Hashem, how do we view that? Is it more like a shua, or is it more like a neder? So if we say it's more like a shua, then we're home free. So he's teaching me first the ones that are on the Chefza, like the Nedarim and the Karamot. And then he goes to Shvuot, which is on the Gavra, and then Nazir as well. But you could say, and this is the way the Rebbe Roblowski was saying to me, look in the Rush, where's the Rush? If you look in the Rush is on the left-hand column. He says, on the fourth, fifth one line, Nedarim meaning the Mitzvah Chefza lay. Wait. One second. Even though the Nazir is prohibited on wine, in Nesar Yanalav, El Begufo to Louis and Azirut. Shomer Arani Nazir, Umil and Nesar Biyayin, with the Klach of a Tumor. Somehow, the Rush wants to say, like, you're signing up for the Nazir program, and so these things become prohibited to you. So, that, in other words, that's the way he wants to say it. In other words, you could say, they were Blavsky was saying this, in other words, it could be that the underlying prohibition is like the chefza, but in other words, ultimately, though, he's signing up the program to be a Nazir, so all those things are prohibited on him. All right, now let me just go.
Can I ask that question? Yeah, that wasn't my.
Yeah, go, yeah.
I remember it, the difference between the Neder and the Shvua. Do you have, like, on before Rosh Hashanah, do you have Hatarat Shavuot? Or it's just Nedarim, and why not?
No. So in the Hatar, we refer to it as Hatar Nedarim. In the language of Hatar Nedarim,
it's
a Shvua. You mentioned all the different Lashonos, right?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Any other questions, comments, and thoughts? Okay. All right, let's go further. All right, now. Okay, now the Gemara asks differently. Okay, around line 10 in the Gemara, Beis and Beis. Patach b'kinuyin, kol kinuyin nedarim, umafarish yado. So the Mishnah first says that the kinuyim of nedarim are like nedarim. The kinuyim of karamim are like karamim, and the kinuyim of shvuot. But then, the example the Tana gives is the din in Yadot. Yad, we explain, we're not saying the whole language of the Neder. Ha'omer l'chaveiro, mudar ni'mimcha. So if a person says to his chaver, mudar ni'mimcha, a mudar from you, you know, he could say that you're like a korban to me, but he doesn't do that. He's mudar ni'mimcha. So that's a different din. In other words, he's making the transition from kinuyim to a different halacha, yadot. He says, so why does he first introduce kinuyim and then he starts talking about yadot? But two, yadot inshi. In addition to which, the Tana forgot to, he didn't mention that anything about yadot, say like he should say that yadot are like a regular korban. In other words, yadot are like a regular neder. He doesn't say that, he just gives examples. So the Gemara says, I rebehon b'chisri mechzerah. So the Gemara says, no, the Tana does address it. We have to understand the Mishnah. It's as if words are missing in our Mishnah. This is the way we should understand the Mishnah. So we should understand the Mishnah as if the Tana of the Mishnah said that all the kinuyim of Nedarim are like Nedarim, and the Yadot of Nedarim are like Nedarim. So that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah, even though those words aren't there. So the Gemara says, though, v'lifro kinuyim b'reisha. So the Tana is teaching me the kinui of a neder is like a neder, and the yadot of a neder are like a neder, a full neder. So why does he then give examples about yadot? He should elaborate on the kinuim. He teaches me A, then he teaches me B. Then he should elaborate on B. He should elaborate on A. So he says, so the Gemara says, Ahu desalat minei, ahu mafarish bereisha. The Gemara wants to say, if the Tana teaches me A and B, he'll elaborate on B first, the last thing. Hit it none. Now, the Gemara gives a number of Mishnayot to follow this example. Hit none, like we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah, I think everybody knows. We say it every Friday night. So the Tana Mishnah says, but what are you allowed to light the Shabbos candles or the lights? They would have like oil, but and what not? In other words, the thrust of the Mishnah is you want to light that, you know, brights well, that burns well. You don't want something that flickers, and then you may come inadvertently to tip over the I'm using candle, not like a wax candle, but you may come to tip over the light, and then be mavir on Shabbat, you be chayav malacha deraisa. So the Tana says, b'mem adlikin, what are you allowed to light with? V'ma'im adlikin, what are you not allowed to light with? And then the Tana says, e'im adlikin, b'chel b'vushal, all these things you can't light with. So it's A, B, and then he elaborates on B. That's what that's it. Then another Mishnah from Masechet Shabbat, but Tomnin of Amayin Tomnin. If you remember, the Yomi people, that by Hatmana, which is like insulating the food item, you know, before Shabbat, so you're allowed to insulate with something which just, you know, guards the heat, but you can't insulate with something which is Mosif Hevel, which adds to the heat. So, Bamet Tomlin of Amayin Tomlin, what are you allowed to do Hatmana with? What are you not allowed to do Hatmana with? Then, Ein Tomlin Mechuli, then the Mishnah says, you can't do hatmana with A, you know, all these different other things. So again, it's A, B, and elaborate on B. Third example, again, also from Masechet Shabbat. What is a woman allowed to go without on Shabbat? So again, remember with jewelry, the chashash is that the woman will take it off and show it to her friend and carry in the Rishus HaRabim. So it says, What is she allowed to walk with? What is she not allowed to walk with? Lo teisei isha. Then the Tana goes on, a woman shouldn't look out with, you know, these items. So the Gemara thinks, so again, so we said the Mishnah is really Tzviva Kinuyim and Yadod, and then elaborate on Yadod. A, B, elaborate on B. And then we gave the Mishnah, the Gemara gave three examples of Mishnayot that follow that pattern. So the Gemara says, are you saying whenever a Tana opens up with a topic, then she's another topic, then he elaborates on B, not A. Is that true? And now he's going to show that it's not the case. But then, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Bava Batra, Yesh Nochlin Umanchilin. So, Yesh Nochlin Umanchilin, there are some people who inherit and bequeath. He says, Nochlin Lo Manchilin. And then there are other people who inherit and don't bequeath. Bil Nochlin Umanchilin. The following people inherit and, in other words, he goes back to the first halacha and bequeath. So, the Ran explains, let's look at the Ran. This is the fifth very wide line downstairs in the Ran. Let's say a father with sons. So Nochlin means inherit. In other words, so if the sons die, the father inherits them. And then if the father dies, the sons inherit him. So the father is both he inherits from them and he bequeaths them. And same thing with the sons also. The sons also, they inherit and bequeath. He says, Nochlin v'lo manchilin, heino ish and imo. But where I inherit but I don't bequeath would be a man with his mother. So if the mother dies, Rahman al-Islam, the man would inherit the mother. But if the man dies, the mother would not inherit the son. That's the idea. So back in the Gemara, so the Gemara says, Yesh Nochlin manchilin, some people inherit and bequeath. Then others are Nochlin v'lo manchilin. Some people inherit and don't bequeath, like the son with the mother. Beilu Nochlin manchilin. And then the Tana goes back to the first one. The following, and then the Mishnah explains it, are Nochlin manchilin. Okay, then, so we're going, so it's so the example we gave is not working out. We thought A, B, elaborate B. And now we have A, B, elaborate A. He says, and now he's learning other Mishnayot. Some women are permissible to their husbands, but prohibited to the Yavam. And then Mutarot Yavam Vasul Balayin. Conversely, some are permissible to the Yavam, but prohibited to their husbands. So again, A, B, going back to A. So the Ran explains, let's look back at the Ran. Five lines from the bottom. He says, Mutarot Balayin Vasul Yavam. Some women are permissible to the husbands, but asked to the Yavam, the Farish Beperik Yesh Mutarot, Kohen Hed Yoshin Asan Almana. Let's say a regular garden variety Kohen who married an Almana. So that Almana was permissible to him. A Kohen is allowed to marry an Almana. Yesh Lo Ach Kohen Gadol. But he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. So let's say you have, Elazar and Itamar. So Elazar, marries an Almana, then Elazar dies, and his brother Itamar, who's a Kohen Gadol, can't do Yibam. So that's Mutarot Lebalayin and Asur Livmeyim. Mutarot Livmeyim and Asur Lebalayin. Kohen Gadol, so the first was Mutarot Lebalayim and Asur Livmeyim. That we did. Principal to the husband, but towards the Yavam. Then the Ran takes the next case. Mutarot Livmeyim and Asur Lebalayim, principal to the Yavam, but prohibited to the husband. He says, let's say a Kohen Gadol is Mekadosh Almana. A Kohen Gadol violated halacha and is Mekadosh Almana. So that's a case where the woman is prohibited to the Baal, but he's got a regular, then he dies, he has a regular brother who's a Kohen that's permissible to the Yavam. Yesh Lo'ach Kohen Hidyot. Okay, so back in the Gemara. So Yesh Mutarot Lebalein Vasrut Lebalein. Some women are permissible to their husbands, but prohibited to the Yavam, like an Almana. Marrying the first Kohen, and then he dying, and then the brothers of Kohen Gadol, and then conversely, Mutar Livmeyim Vasur Lebalayin. Sometimes they're permissible to the Yavam, but prohibited to the where the Kohen Gadol married an Almana. Anyway, Ve'elu Mutar Lebalayin Vasur Livmeyim, and then again, the Tana goes back to the first case. So we had two cases where A, B, and then he elaborates on A. Now, third case. Yesh Tunot Shemen Levona. Shemen below Lavona. So this is the Mishnah Masechet Menachot. It says some Menachot, they have shemen and lavona, oil and lavona. Lavona is a frankincense. And then other Menachot have shemen below lavona. They only have oil and not frankincense. Meilu tunot shemen lavona. So again, let's look at the Ran, four lines from the bottom. Tunot shemen lavona. Mefarish perikol Menachot. Minchad asolet b'machvat mar machashet. Well, he's like, you have Menachot, a person making a voluntary offering in the base of Mikdash. So it's going to have shemen and lavona. He said, I didn't say right. Let me go back. I'm sorry. Tuno shemen lavona. That is it. That's correct. I said right. Shemen below lavona, on the other hand, the Ran says, if it's oil and not lavona, would be minchat nesachim. Let's say I bring a mincha together with my korban and then with the wine libation, so that mincha would not have lavona in it. So again, so back in the Gemara, so this is eight lines from the bottom of the Gemara. Ish tuno shemen lavona. The Talmud Mishnah says, some Menachot have shemen and lavona, the whole series of them. And then the others, shemen below lavona, only oil, not lavona. But you'll throw shemen lavona again. So like A, B, and going back to A. Then, example, I think number four is in the Gemara. Yish tunon hagasha vein tunon tenufa. Some things have a required hagasha. If you remember, people who've been with me with Daf Yomi, there's a din, b'gishalom is be'ah, that the Menachot, number Menachot, you have to take the mincha and touch the southwest corner of the Mizbeach with it. That's Hagasha. And then this Tanufa is being waved. So he says, Yishunah Hagasha vein tuna Tanufa. Some things is required for Hagasha, but not Tanufa is waving with the Kohen. Then Tanufa below Hagasha. Other things are waved and no Hagasha. We'll Tunor Hagasha. So let's look back at the Ran. Three lines from the bottom. Tunor Hagasha. The Ran says, Shagisha Kohen in a mincha, the Karen Drome meet Maravit. The Kohen will bring the mincha to the southwest corner of Dichtiv, Zo Torah Menchak, Reba Tabanei Aron, L'Fnei Hashem. Yeah, I swear to the wrong Pasuk before. Yeah, but this is the correct Pasuk. So some have Hagasha, so some things have Hagasha, but no Tanufa. Then others have Tanufa and no Hagasha. So Tanufa, two lines to the bottom, the coin puts his hands underneath the Baalim's hand, or hand, in other words, the coin has his hand underneath the owner's hand, and they wave. They wave together. So, tuuna in the Ran, tuuna hagasha ve'ina tuuna tenufa. The Ran says hainu minchat chote is just hagasha and not tenufa. Tuuna. The only thing is, he said in the art scroll, the Rashash thinks it's a mistake because there's a whole bunch of other korbanot that are that way. One second. Let me get this out. It says, one second. Right. The Rashash says the copyist error, because the Mishnah Menachot says that all standard mincha offerings, they have a gasha and not a tenufa. So the standard mincha would be hagasha and not a tenufa. And then what's tenufa and not hagasha? He says, he says, he says the lo shemen, it sounds like the bottle of oil from the mitzora, but his korban asham, bikurim are waved, and then the korban shlamim are waved. Anyway, back in the Gemara. So the main thing is, it says that it's A, B, and then he goes back to A. Yesh tuna agasha, vein tuna tenufa, tufa lo agasha, vein tuna agasha. In the last example, Yesh bechor l'nachla v'im bechor l'kohen. Sometimes a person could be a bechor for Yerusha purposes, but not a bechor for a kohen. For example, let's say a woman was previously married, had children with first husband, marries second husband was never married, and now she bears him a child. So the child that's born has no din of pinyon aben. He's not paterechem, he's not the first one out of the womb, but he's the bechor for the father. So that would be an example of Bechor L'Nachla v'im Bechor L'Kohen. Conversely, it'd be Bechor L'Kohen v'im Bechor L'Nachla. On the other hand, Bechor L'Kohen, it means like it required Pinyon Ben. The reverse case, let's say where the husband had been married before and had children, and then he marries this woman who had never been married before. She bears the first child, so the child's not a Bechor L'Nachla, but he's a Bechor for the Kohen. Ve'ezuhu Bechor L'Nachla v'im Bechor L'Kohen. And who's the Bechor L'Nachla? So, again, so the broad brush approach, we said, how come in our Mishnah, the Mishnah teaches me Dinim Kinuyim, then he teaches me the Dinim Yadot, then he elaborates on Yadot, A, B, elaborate on B. So the Mishnah said that's the Derech of the Mishnayot. But then the Gemara brought five examples of Mishnayot where it didn't go that way. It was A, B, and focus on A. So what's the plan here? Or what's how does this normally work? So the Gemara says, Halein Mishum Da'avshulei Mefarish Yehud De'Patach Ratio. So the Gemara wants to say the examples that you gave, because there's so many different dinim involved with them. So let's take a look at, let me see. Yeah, if you look at the Rush, look at the Perish of the Rush, the bottom line of the Perish of the Rush, he says, Halein Mishum Da'avshan, means they're so numerous. He says, Ahud Patach Bubresha, Shebechol Achat Yishar B'Babot. In each one of these Mishnayot, there are four sections. He says, "Be patach b'may desalik l'pisha devar maruchim ayah shokech meksatan." So, if the Tana would start to teach me the last one first, he could get confused on the whole order. So, we want to make it easier. Remember, this is all done by memory originally. So, he means the four would be like each one like is like yesh nochlin manchilim. Then there's Noklin below Manchilin, then Lo Noklin below Manchilin, and then Noklin Manchilin. In other words, you have two terms, A and B. So sometimes you have A and B are both present. Sometimes neither A or B is present. Sometimes A is present, not B, and sometimes B and not A. In other words, Yesh Noklin Manchilin. Some people inherit and don't bequeath. So that's four cases. And then you had Mutarod Labalein Vasur Liyavein, the same way. Some women are permissible to the husbands, prohibited to the yavam. Some permissible to both. Some prohibited them both. Some are permissible for one or the other one. Anyway, each one of these mishnayot has four different sections. So the Gemara wants to say that in general, A, B, the Tana will elaborate on B first, except where in these cases where there's like four components to the Mishnah or four variables, there it's too difficult for the Tana to begin with the last one first, because you may get confused with the other ones. We got to go in order. That's what the Tana thinks, the Gemara thinks. So the Gemara says, so Mishnah Avshim Mepharsha Hu Depatak Resha. So two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, wait, but there's another Mishnah, also Masechet Shabbat. What is an animal allowed to go out on Shabbat? What is he not allowed to go out without on Shabbat? Again, just like a person has Din Hotzah, there's a din hotzah for a person's animal. In other words, the animal is not allowed to do hotzah on Shabbat. So he says, the lo avsha, that's not so numerous. He says, v'katani, and nevertheless, the Tana teaches, the otzei gamal. Like the gamal goes out of the apsar with his nose ring. And so there, it's A, B, and he goes back to A, even though he doesn't have four sections to it. So the top line in Gimel Med Aleph, and then we'll end it up soon. Elo lav davka. So the Gemara says it's really not so precise. Zimni mefarish hu depatach bereisha. There was the one the Gemara says there's no rhyme or reason. Sometimes Tana will begin with A first. Zimni hu desalik mefarish bereisha. Sometimes the second one first. That's the first answer. The ibay dema, or else I could say a different answer. Yadot ayid ati midrasha mefarish lohom bereisha. Now when it comes to kinuyei nedarim, that's like self-evident. That I don't need a drasha for. That's self-evident. When it comes to yadot, the fact that a partial statement counts as an eder, or he says that is a whole drasha for. So since the Tana is so, like he loves the fact of drasha, the first lehon bereisha. So the Gemara says if that's the case, if he loves it so much because of the drasha, liftach hadein bereisha. So why doesn't he begin with that first? So in other words, the Tana should open up and say, Yadot Nidarim Kinidarim. That's what he should say. That should be the first thing he opens up in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Miftach Patach B'Kinuyim Doraita Bereisha. That the Tana begins with Kinuyim, which Doraisa means it's like self-evident. He says, V'hadar M'farsh Yadot Da'akin Le Midrasha. And then he explains the Yadot that come from Midrasha. Now, the Gemara says, I'll just do two more lines. So according to the opinion, and we had this already earlier in the Ran, that Nedarim al-Shon Nachrim, which we said, I think, is Reb Yochanan. Yochanan says the Kinuyim are just like Gentile languages. It means like foreign language words. So I understand that kinyanim are self-evident, clearly. But according to the opinion, it's something that the Chachamim created these Lashonot. So what are you going to say then? In other words, if it's something that they created, so if you look in the, this is in the Mefarish, the Rashi, in the 10th narrow line, In other words, if the Chachamim are created, that's also the equivalent of coming from a drasha. So why should that not be? Why should that not be first? So the Gemara says, "Mikatani Yadot." Does the Tana really say anything about Yadot? Belav Chisuri Kamach Sart. Is it not? Didn't you say the Mishnah is missing words? So the Kamach Sart law, Akdim Nami Betani. You should understand the Mishnah as follows: Yadot. Call Yadot Nedarim Kinedarim. In other words, Akim Nami Betani Yadot. In other words, you should say that he taught Yadot first. So we should understand the Mishnah that it's written as follows: Call Yadot Nedarim Kinedarim. That all Yadot Nedarim Kinedarim. Bechol Kinuyin Nedarim Kinedarim. Ve'Elohin Yadot. And these are Yadot. Omer LaChaveiro. Ve'Elohin Kinuyin. Konam Konak Konos. Okay, I'm going to end it up right here. Okay. Anyway, let me just end the recording. Any questions? Everybody good? All right, let me end the recording.